I'll tell you, I thank him every single day for his mercy. Amen. And, you know, Kim Lai and Brandy, we were joking before service when I had told them the news about midweeks, and I knew that, you know, like myself, when I knew that I'd be down, but hopefully it's just a short time. But anyways, Kim Lai said, "I'm glad to know you're human." Pastor Mike said, "Oh, man, you have no idea." You know, we're all human, man. We miss it. And I'm just so thankful. So what I'm saying is I thank him every day for his mercy, because I've needed it and you need it. Praise God. And where would we be without it? And, you know, God, thankfully, is not looking for perfection, and you miss it one time and you're cut off forever. Thank God. Now, that doesn't give us license to miss it. You understand what I mean? Or to take advantage of that grace and abuse that. But I'm glad when it's there, when it's needed. And so he had me exhort that way. You know, I usually don't do that in the opening prayer, but someone needs to know, hey, just ask him to forgive you. Just get back on the train. Praise God. He loves you. We've all said things. We've all thought things. We've all done things that we regret, wish we could take it back. But you know what? The blood covers it all. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And if it's not you right now that needs that, it will be. Because you're human, you know, because you're human. But anyways, go to Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Romans 12 and verse 3. Praise his name forevermore. I think one of the hardest things at times, but one of the most mature things and you can endeavor to be, is when you know the full picture on things. You know, in July when he did mention the midweeks, I was bummed because I'd go to church every day if we could have it, you know. I've tried to start other churches, but he won't let me. This to tell you how, you say, well, I'm already in church a lot, but I would. I'd go out and have one every night of the week just to get the word out to people, you know. But so my initial reaction in July is bummed, but he showed me some reasons that I'd see that, you know. Thank you, Lord. But I knew there were some other reasons. And a lot of times it's just, a mature Christian doesn't question things. And I'm saying that for your own life at times. God will lead you into things and lead you in places to do things, make decisions or say things that naturally doesn't make sense, or you don't see all the ending. Just obey the next step of what he tells you. You know, when God told Elijah, go into the brook Cherith, there's a whole lot of unknowns there. There's a whole lot of what ifs or this, but you know what? Elijah was blessed by what? Not questioning God. Take your son, Abraham, up on the mountain and kill him. Well, there's a whole lot of what ifs. There's a whole lot of questions. But just do what God's telling you to do, and the rest will fall into place. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, Romans 12 and verse 3, we're going to review after we pray here. And just real quick, catch you up, get you ready for tonight. But Father, thank you for helping us. Lord, may I speak as the oracles of God tonight, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. Father, these people are faithful enough on a Saturday night to come out in the summertime to hear your word. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to them. All those, Father, that are hungry, speak to them, fill them, satisfy them. Lord, those that could not be here with us tonight or are watching by live stream, Father, speak to their hearts. Bless them tonight, Lord. You are an all-blessing God. It's your desire to bless us. And Lord, we know we have a part. Our part tonight is hunger, it's thirst, it's faith, it's expectation. So, Father, we wait with bated breath. We're on the edge of our seat, Father, to hear from heaven tonight, regardless of what our mind and our flesh says. Speak to us, Lord. May you hit the bullseye of our heart. And we thank you for taking us to a new level. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we talked about last week was part one of growing our faith. And we need our faith at the maximum it can be at. Not only personally from being a faith church we've learned, but the kingdom of God needs us to bring faith to it. I, as your pastor, need a congregation full of faith people. Not just killing it in your personal life, but killing it in the things of God. And I'm saying killing it, that's a term for doing good. If you don't know, killing it, what are we killing, Pastor Mike? I remember when Pastor Nancy Dufresne came to the church in South Dayton, and I remember standing up there and see, my brain does not think like everybody else's brain. And I remember saying when she sat down, I said, we have the baddest in the land here. Well, some people looked at me, what's so bad about her? The baddest in the land to me meant she's the raddest, the baddest in the land, you know. And so I had to explain myself, but hallelujah. Anyways, We want to grow our faith. We want to get it to where it needs because the kingdom of God needs it. I want to tell you that, you know, God has a plan for this church in this hour. And, you know, it seems, you know, I know that you trust what I'm saying, that I'm not up here just giving you fluff to get you excited for a pep rally. But we haven't scratched the surface in the Allegheny Olean area yet. It's just the tip of the iceberg. And, you know, I've been saying that. And at camp meeting, you know what Pastor Michael ministered to all the ministers? And I don't remember him saying anything to anybody else, not that that matters, but he did say something to me when he ministered to me, the prophet of God. He laid hands on me, he said, "It's just the beginning." That's the tip of the iceberg. And, you know, you see empty seats and, you know, it seems like things at times can go slow. But remember, John the Baptist cried out in the wilderness. In the wilderness, he was just preaching the word, sowing seed, sowing seed, sowing seed, sowing seed. And then, bam, harvest came. Jesus came and the world took off. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, things are going to pop. Things are going to happen. But we need you on board. We need you to see, you won't, if you're not a faith person, you won't be a praying person. And if we're not a praying church, we're not going to be a fulfilling God's plan church. It takes prayer to do that. But see, what I found is if most people aren't walking in their blessing in their personal life, they don't have much to bring to the kingdom. They're so focused on themselves. So we need you walking in healing. We need you walking in prosperity. We need you walking in joy. And we need you to bring that same faith to the church, to pray, to believe God, to serve, to give, all the things that God has for you. So we need to grow our faith. And we see in Romans 12 and verse 3 that the Bible says, "For though I say the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man a measure or the measure of faith." Well, when I hear the word measure, I think measurable or amount, right? That means faith can be measured. Now, again, we just say that by that verse, but thankfully, we don't have to assume that. The Word tells us and shows us. And we looked at that last week, and we won't take time to look there. Kim Lau, you don't have to take time to pull it up on the screen. I'm just going to read these. But we saw in Matthew chapter 8, dealing with the centurion who had the servant that was grievously tormented at home. Remember, he used authority, told Jesus how to deal with this, and Jesus marveled and said, "I have not found such great faith." Well, that word "great" means large in quantity. If you look that word "great" up in the Greek, that's what Jesus was saying. He said, "I've never seen an amount of faith so large before." Well, then we saw over there in Matthew chapter 14, remember when Peter was walking on the water to come to Jesus, and he had faith at first, you know, and then he got consumed with other things. Oh, when we get consumed with other things is when the sinking begins. And Peter started to see all, he got consumed with the natural and with the opposition and with the circumstances, right? The wind and the waves, we know. And he sank. And Jesus said that he had little faith. Well, if you have a great amount of something or a little amount of something, that's two different measures, two different amounts. And so we saw in both of those situations that when there was great faith or a large quantity or an amount of faith in a person, what happened? There was great victory. When we saw little faith, there was sinking. And the thing that sticks out to me the most is Jesus was present for both situations. And guess who's present in all of our lives? The Lord. God said, "I'll never leave you." But yet some are sinking and some are having victories. Amen? It's just the truth. Well, I don't want to be in the little faith category. We saw in Romans 4, verse 19 and 20, talking about Abraham. It talked about weak faith. Said Abraham wasn't in weak faith. But then it said Abraham was in strong faith. Weak and strong, two different measures, two different amounts. You can have weak faith. You can have strong faith. Strong faith got the miracle. Hallelujah. Well, it's up to us, according to our faith. So we saw these things, and we saw that when God gives something, We saw that by that, remember the parable we looked at of the talents, the 10 talents, the 5 talents, the 2 talents over there in Matthew, I believe it's chapter 25. Remember, the Bible says that this story, you can liken it to the kingdom of heaven. He said, so the natural illustration I'm going to give you, he said, is how the kingdom of heaven operates. Well, what was that story? A man delivered goods to his servants, didn't he? He delivered 1 5 talents, he delivered 1 2 talents, and he delivered 1 1 talent. And the person with the 5 talents went and made 5 more. The person with the 2 went and made 2 more. And the person with the 1 dug it, hid it in the earth, and didn't do anything with it. The servant came, or the master came back, reckoned with his servants, reconciled with his servants, found out the guy with 5 made 10, the guy with 2 made 4, and the guy with 1 made none. And who does the servants represent? The servants represent us. The Lord, or the master there, represents God. And so we see that the master was happy with the guy that 5 turned into 10, happy with the one that turned 2 into 4. And in fact, he said in both of them, you've been faithful. Because of your faithfulness, now you'll get to see more increase into more. But he said with the one, he called him a wicked and slothful servant. He was not happy that he delivered him something and he did nothing with it. Well, remember, the Bible says that we can liken the kingdom of heaven. Romans 12:3 says what? That God has dealt us something, a measure of faith. And now knowing that this measure of faith can grow, shrink, stay small, how many of you know God would want us to do what the 10 did and what the 5 did and what the 2 did? Increase what he gave us. Because what he gave us has the potential or the ability to change your world, your family's world, and the community that you live in's world. Faith can move mountains. Glory to God. So we have to make sure that we are growing our faith. If our faith can be small, we want to make sure it's large. If our faith can be weak, we want to make sure our faith can be strong. But remember this about faith. Faith is like a muscle. And if you want your muscle to grow, 2 things have to happen. 2 main things have to happen. Number 1, proper nutrition. Number 2, exercise. Amen? Number 1, proper nutrition. Number 2, exercise. And so we saw last week, for our faith to grow, we have to feed it. And the feed for our faith is the Word, isn't it? Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. We saw that man shall not live. Now here's what you have to understand about abundant life. Jesus said, I've come to give you abundant life. But you and I know, because we've been well taught, we're not ignorant to these things. Just so you know, when I say that, I need to make sure. When I say you've been well taught, that's not me patting myself on the back. I mean in our camp. I mean in this church, yes, but in the ministry that we've been able to be in, we know that walking out abundant life is not an automatic rite of passage just because you're a Christian. There's many Christian who are born again. They love the Lord. They are going to heaven. They will spend eternity with Him, but are not experiencing abundant life, or one way you could put it is what? Heaven on earth kind of life. The God kind of life. I know Christians. You know Christians. I used to be a Christian in the category where I wasn't walking in abundant life. I have family members that love Jesus. They didn't look like abundant life. It was chaos, crisis, turmoil, sickness, poverty, just a mess all the time. Now, I'm not talking about seasons of tests and trials. I'm talking of lifestyle of this kind of stuff. Well, the lifestyle he came to give you is heaven on earth. Abundant life. And we know this, that it's not a rite of passage, but how do you and I experience abundant life? What is the flow or the avenue abundant life is made possible? The avenue of faith, right? You receive the promises of God through faith. Well, the promises of God are abundant life. You quench the fiery darts of the wicked one through faith. Well, when you're quenching the fiery darts of the wicked one, you are walking in abundant life, praise God. Hallelujah. Pleasing God. Overcoming. All these things. Reigning in life. They're walked out by faith. Amen? Now, what did he say in Matthew 4:4? Man can't live this way. Man can't zoe. That's that word, Greek word, abundant life, there in John 10, verse 10. It's the Greek word zoe, same in Matthew 4 and verse 4. Man can't live that way or experience in that by bread alone. He said, but they can by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What's he saying? Like you feed on natural bread for your natural man, you feed on spiritual bread for your spiritual man. What happens when you feed on spiritual bread? Well, we know Romans 10, 17. Faith cannot exist without the word of God. Amen. It can't exist. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. So when you feed on the word, you're building your faith, or you're doing Joshua 1:8, meditating on the word day and night, observing to do. Why? So then your way will be made prosperous and good, have good success. What does prosperity and good success sound like? Sounds like abundant life to me. But you can't have it. And I said this last week, remember? If you're willing to pay the price, abundant life can be yours. If you're willing, people always say in Joshua 1:8, yes, Pastor Mike, sign me up for prosperity, good success. Okay, but there's a price to pay. What is it? Meditating in the Word day and night. How, I want health to all my flesh. Life to those that find him, and health to all my flesh. Every one of you says, put me down for that. Okay, but there's a price. What is it? Attending to his word. Inclining thine ears unto his sayings. Sign me up, Pastor Mike, of how many of you would like to say, I want everything I do to prosper. Oh, sign me up, Pastor Mike. Okay, you can have that. If the price is right. What's the price of that? Well, Psalms 1 verse 1 says, he that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but his delights in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. He'll be like the tree planted by the rivers of living water, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Amen. Well, what is that? What's he talking about? Feeding on the word. Oh, yeah. What did I tell you last week? I said, you know, I would love to have a beach body. Oh man, I want to get up in the morning and get ready when I'm putting my clothes on, look and take my shirt out and say, wow, look at that guy looking back at me. That guy should be on the cover of GQ. Look at him with a dumbbell in his hands, you know. And I've always said, you know, man, would it be nice to have the washboard six-pack popping abs. Oh, that would be nice. Well, you can have that. If you want to pay the price. And what did I tell you last week? It's not worth it to me. I like hamburgers too much. I like corn. I'm not an advocate for not being healthy. Don't misunderstand me. But there's a healthy, and then there's ripped. And I don't know if I want to. I think I'll just stay at the healthy category. That's the price I like to pay. I'll pay the price of healthy. Not so sure I want to pay the price. Well, a lot of people say, I want the good success, prosperity. I want health, all the flesh. I want whatever I do to prosper. Okay, I want abundant life. Okay, but you can't do it apart from the word. You know those bodybuilders and those men and women that, I mean, my goodness, they don't have an ounce of fat. I mean, they just every line, everything. How many of you know they don't get that way by starvation? They feed, and they feed regularly, but they feed on the right things. See, we consume and we feed on things constantly, but it's strengthening the wrong part of us, the carnal man. It's strengthening the mind. It's strengthening the flesh. It's strengthening habits. And these people, you know, we say, oh, they must just never eat. No. In fact, people that like that, they're eating lots of calories, and they're eating a lot during the day, but they're eating on the right things. Those muscles that are strong and popping and just, you know, with the veins going through them, they don't get that way by fasting. They're strong because they've taken time to properly get the right nutrition in their bodies. Well, you know, Smith Wigglesworth reminds me of a faith giant. He's a man full of faith and strength, isn't he? I mean, person that raised, I don't know how many people they said he raised from the dead, but it was more than I have gotten, more than you've gotten so far, so he's ahead of us. Smith's in the lead, but we're going to catch him. Maybe we're going for his record. But anyways, what did he say? He would go to eat lunch, and he'd be with someone to eat lunch, and he'd pull out a Bible out of his pocket and say, what are you doing, Smith? He said, if I'm going to feed my natural man, I'm going to feed my spiritual man. He had a revelation, didn't he? So we have to feed. Faith is like a muscle. You want that muscle to be strong? You must feed the muscles to be strong. Remember what we talked about, the football players, that when they get out of football, they no longer have to move 300-pound human beings for a living. Some of those football players, that's their job. Move that other 300-pound man out of the way. You don't do that when you're weak. You can't be strong being fasted. You have to have nutrition in you. I'm not saying there's not benefits to fasting. Don't misunderstand me. I'm talking over the long haul. There's times and seasons of that. But what not never fasting from the word, but I'm talking natural fasting. Those guys don't go into a football game not having eaten all week long. And they lose a lot of weight, you know, and they get out of football and their diet's completely changed, but they tell you what they were eating when they were moving 300-pound men, and they're just eating calories all the time. Why? To build that, to be strong, right? To move. They constantly are eating to be strong. We need to be constantly feeding on the word. But what happens if you just eat and don't exercise? The muscle's not very strong. You're kind of flabby, right? I mean, that's just the truth. I'm going to keep eating and eating and eating and eating and eating. You know, did you ever see, go back and look at when Michael Phelps was winning all his gold medals, what that guy used to eat. But then he'd get out of the pool and say, wow, he's in shape. And then he's eating all this stuff. Well, the reason that he's not flabby from eating all that is because he's exercising. We can't just feed our faith without exercising it. Our faith will get flabby. Our faith won't stay sharp. Our faith won't stay strong. We need it to stay strong, so we have to feed and exercise it. Think about David. Talking about exercising your faith, what does it mean to exercise your faith? It means to walk in faith, to have faith projects. Think about David. We look at David as the giant killer. And that defeat, what, opened up, changed David's world. He got to marry the king's daughter. He got riches from the king. Listen, when you marry the king's daughter, life has changed. I don't remember who it was, but I can't remember where I saw this, but the joke was, okay, your reward's the king's daughter. Well, what is it? Well, he didn't even get a chance to look at her. I don't even care. It doesn't even matter what she looks like. She's the king's daughter. Yeah. That was the joke. I'm messing it up. But my point is, it's so good when you marry the king's daughter that I don't care if she's attractive to me or not. David's probably thinking, it's the king's daughter. Life's changed now for his children, his children's children, his name, I mean, stature, everything changed, that great victory. Great victories lead us into great things. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why there's so much opposition in your life at times. Amen. That's why there's so much opposition in your life. Because there's great victories, great conquests, great achievements, great promises to walk into that the devil knows about. He doesn't know everything, but he can sense spiritual activity. Amen. Don't be alarmed. Don't be alarmed at the fight. You know, I was texting a person from South Dayton, and they're pressing in with God, getting going and with him and things, and reaching out to him, just had him on my heart, and they're telling me the test it's been. It's just been hard. Yeah, absolutely it's hard, because you're about to walk into some things, praise God. You're about to step over into some things that you weren't before, that the devil didn't have to fight you on. Praise God. We don't shy away. So David, great conquest led him. But you know what? David didn't start with a giant. He started in the field, keeping all the predators away. Remember the bear and the lion David started with? And what were those? What was that? Exercising his faith in God. Because remember what he said. He didn't say, my hunting skills delivered me from the bear and the lion. My strength delivered me. No, he said, God delivered me. And then what did he say about the giant? The same God that delivered me from the bear and the lion will deliver me from this Philistine. Because remember, that tested trial was way bigger than him, stronger than him, more powerful than him, more skilled than him. But his faith in God got him past that thing. His faith was strong, but David didn't all of a sudden just start using his faith. He'd been using it in the field. Then a bear came, Lord, I trust you. When the lion came, Lord, I trust you. When the wolves, when the coyotes, no doubt there was other things that tried to get the sheep. And he was using his faith. We need to exercise our faith. You know, I think about things that we've been able to accomplish in the churches with building purchases and different threats that came against. And I think, you know, those times that I went through things, a lot of times I'll look back like David did and say, oh, okay, I was exercising my faith. I see how that worked. It's building me up. It was getting me ready for this. Praise God. And so we need to start putting some things, notches on our faith belt. Because we need you and your life needs you to be in faith. But I want to tell you something here, or help you with this. Because we all want to be faith giants. But again, David didn't start with the giant. And we all want to be able to be strong and move things. But how many of you know, those guys that and ladies that you see at the gym, I mean, I go in the gym at times and they're throwing on plates of 45s on the, multiple on each side. What in the world's the matter with these people? And they just, and I'm like, I wouldn't be able to move that. I mean, you should see, it's embarrassing when I pick up a 45 to put it on. You know, you try to act like it's no problem, but really I'm like, and they're just, ching, ching, and then get out of the back and just do this. They didn't start with multiple 45s on each side. Their first day in the gym, they didn't go in there and say, you know what, I'm going to throw three plates of 45 on each side and start bench pressing it. No, they probably started with maybe a 20-pound dumbbell or a 10-pound dumbbell or 15 or whatever, but it wasn't what they're at now. Hallelujah. You know, a marathon runner, a skilled marathon runner, the first time they ever run does not run 26.2 miles. They build up. But how many of you know you got to start somewhere? But also this. Have you ever had great success in something, great advancement in something, but then you put it down for a while? And when you go back, you're not where you left off?
Yeah.
I'll give you an example. When I don't play that regularly, and I go to play it again, I want to cry. My fingers hurt so bad. From the calluses, oh, it's horrible. Especially after you get out of the shower and your skin's all soft and tender, and you play it, it feels like it's just ripping right through. Well, like right now, I got good calluses. I just keep playing, picking up because I put it down. But if I put that down for a week and go to play, oh, the pain. All the pain. Well, it's the same thing with working out.
Yeah.
If you work out for 6 months straight, you build up to a strength. If you take a month off, you're not going back. A month or two off, you're not going back there. And some of us, I know, are right along in our faith. And this will just help encourage your faith. But some people need a place to start. There are some people, and I know because this is how he's having me preach this message, have no faith projects. None. Just going through life. It's like, no, you don't understand. Your faith's getting flabby.
Yeah.
You got to keep that thing primed.
Yeah.
You got to keep that thing sharp.
Right.
Hallelujah. You know, Michael Jordan was the best basketball player ever, and he didn't just get done with a game and go take off until and eat Cheetos till the next game. Tiger Woods, when he was winning all these tournaments, he was at the driving range in between. What? Staying sharp, staying built up, keeping strong. We need to have faith projects. We need to either start or pick up and run. And this is so sweet of him to how he had me do this tonight, because it's going to motivate you to get your faith. Remember, what's the purpose of this? Growing your faith. Go to 1 John 5 and verse 14. 1 John 5 and verse 14. I meant to say this. I was going to say it at the end of service, but I'll forget if I don't. When I was worshiping, this came up in my heart to ask people to do this. You know, we might be disappointed about a midweek service right now, but you know what you could do during that time of the midweek service? You certainly could pray for your pastor.
Amen.
You could pray for the work of God. I mean, my goodness, we could take time and be faithful in other ways. And I just want to tell you, you know, when I find out that people are praying for me, I covet that because we are not going to get this done on our own. So Take the most of that time. Say, you know, Lord sees your heart. But I wish we could be in church. But you know what? Pray. Do something for the kingdom during that time and show the Lord your faithfulness. And it'll be such a blessing. Such rewards will be reaped in so many different realms. But it says, in this confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything, now notice this, according to His will, He hears us. And then the next verse says, if we know He hears us. Well, how do we ever know He hears us? Well, the verse before tells us. Go back to verse 14. The verse before tells us how we know He's going to hear us. If we ask according to His will, He hears us. Okay, so how do we get God to hear us? Ask according to His will. Right? There's your, how do I know God's heard me? Ask according to His will. That's guaranteed. He said, I will hear you if you ask according to My will. So if the question is, how do we know He hears us? The answer is, if we ask according to His will. So then the next verse says, and if we know He hears us. Well, again, how do we know He hears us? I told you the answer prior. Ask according to His will. Well, look at the answer. It says, if we can get Him to hear us, that would mean we ask according to His will. Whatever we ask, we know we have it. Well, what did He say in verse 14? The confidence. Faith is confidence. How in the world was a 100-year-old man able to tell Sarah, get the nursery ready? Hey, you going to have a shower for my 90-year-old wife or what? What do you mean, Abraham? You're crazy. No, we're having a baby. Have you not looked at the mirror lately, Abraham? You didn't read this medical journal here. Did you Google that? How was he able to? The Bible says he was persuaded at what God had said. Why did Abraham have confidence? Because it was God's will. Faith always rests, or faith, you could say it this way, begins where the will of God is known. When you know God's will, you can be confident then, right? That no matter what the symptoms are, no matter what the checkbooks say, no matter what the world say, no matter what the opposition's saying, when you know God's will, you can be confident of belief in that turn in that way, right? Amen. So we're big on that around here. We have to know what God's will is. Praise God. Would y'all agree with me with that? Amen. And so that's why we preach on healing, and people see it in the Word. And so you know now when you get symptoms in your body or things come against you. That's trespassing. That's not okay, right? When things try to attack your mind and your body and your emotions and depression tries to get on you, worry, fear, poverty, all these things, you know that's not right. And you attack that with faith because you know God's will on it. Amen. If God says we can, you know, it's kind of like this. I see it with my kids. Maybe Court didn't hear me say the kids could have extra ice cream or another cookie or whatever. And she walks in and says, put that back. Nuh-uh. Dad said. They're confident, right? Even if they know, Mom might not be thrilled. They just walk in there with that ice cream cone or that extra ice cream, that cookie. Why? Because they have confidence based on what? What I said. Amen? What I said. So we're big on God's will. We can build from God's will. Well, go to John 16 and verse 23. I told you it's going to be a little different. And finishing out tonight, he's you know, I've endeavored my whole life. I miss it at times. To follow the Holy Spirit, because that's what yields blessing. And I was just so thrilled and just with how he was going to present this message, because it's so simple, so fun, and it'll bless you and it'll help you and it'll help you to want to start. You know, I think so many times people don't go back to the gym or get back into working out because there's all sorts of thoughts in your head that scare you you're too far off, you can't do this. And I think that's the way it is sometimes with faith. You know, we hear people like Pastor Nancy, or we hear people sometimes different things in their faith victories. Oh my gosh, I don't know, I could never be that. No, you can be that. Amen? You can be that. But just like David, just like the gym warrior, just like these people, Michael Jordan, they all start somewhere, praise God. And this is where God wants us to start that'll help you. John 16:23 says, "In that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto," or up until now, verse 24, "you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive," notice this, "that your joy may be full." So he's telling you to ask and receive for the purpose of what? Fulfilling your joy. So we could say that God's will is healing. We agree with that. God's will is provision. God's will is peace. God's will is protection. God's will is good sleep, right? We have all these scriptures on it. But we could also say that God's will is that your joy would be full. Right? He said to ask for it. What's he saying? I want your joy. Not what somebody else's joy is. How many of you know, what is Psalms, was it Psalm 37 or Psalm 34 or 37? I can't remember which one it is. You probably know it, but the Lord will give you the desires of your heart, right? And then it talks about how being faithful and following him, and he'll cause them to come to pass. What? Those desires that you have. Everybody here has different desires. Remember what Pastor Nancy was saying when she was in our church in September, when that same time when I called her the baddest in the land? You know, she was there and she made a statement where people will say, "Well, I don't know if I can justify this, that, and the other because I don't need it." Well, thankfully, God didn't just say, "Ask me for your needs." He said, "I'm concerned with your joy." Your personal joy. Now, before you run off in your mind and the devil tries to tell you, this is just selfishness, there's bigger things at hand, understand the purpose of this message. It's to get you in faith to ultimately bring your strong faith to the kingdom. Everything is kingdom. If the kingdom's not at the center of your life, you need to change your priorities. If it's about fulfilling all your hobbies, recreation, and all your money and this, if that's your purpose, You're missing the mark. Seek first the kingdom of God. So the point of getting you to believe and in faith isn't to fill your little personal grocery cart of life up. It's to get you to get your faith going to bring it to the church and the kingdom of God. But notice he said, "I want your joy to be full." And remember what Pastor Nancy was saying, that some people would say, "Well, I don't need this." And she said, "Yeah, but your joy might like it." Your joy might like it. "Well, I don't know if I need a vacation, or I don't know if I really need that car. I don't really know if I need that house. I don't know if I need that extra pair of shoes, or but your joy might like it." Amen. Now, again, before we get religious on me here, because the devil likes to fight against this stuff, and churches like to fight against this stuff. Thank you, Father, for being a father to me. Amen. What do you mean? Well, he says, "How much more will I give good things unto them that love me?" Now, he said that in the presence of good parents. I think about Caleb and Abby, and I'll tell you what. I want to meet their needs. I want to make sure they're never hungry, never in danger, never sick, never lacking, never wanting for anything. That's my job. I love blessing them and making sure their needs are met. But I don't get, I don't just stop as their dad. "Well, your needs are met. All those toys and that fun thing we're going to do, we're taking away because you don't need it." No. As a good loving father, I like to what? Bestow blessings upon my children. Amen. Your father is a how much more God. Your father is above what you could ask or think type God. Your father is above the line God, praise God. How much so? He creeps into the line of your joy, your personal joy. Well, what are you trying to tell me, Pastor Mike? I took the Lord literally on this. Now, what I'm going to mention to you might seem goofy to you, but it's for a purpose. Because you would all look at me and you'd say, "Pastor Mike's had some faith victories. God's moved in his life, personally, physically, financially, with the churches, different things with my kids, different things in the ministry. And you'd say that, and I've always told you, I'm addicted to faith. When I learned about faith, I said, I got to have more of that. Wow, that's a pretty neat force. It's kind of the way I felt about pizza. I need more of that. That is good stuff, praise God. Well, I took the Lord at his word. And I want to talk to you about two things that happened to me, and I've shared them before, that are so silly, so ridiculous, that might mean nothing to you, but they were absolute proof and confirmation that he is not a liar and that faith can get these things. And oh, what faith can do and help you to exercise your faith. Because what he's trying to tell you through this message is the way he wants you to start exercising your faith, start with your joy. Start with your joy. And watch what he'll do, and watch what it'll do for your faith. And I'm going to tell you two things that to you on the surface might seem so completely ridiculous, but to me, you have no idea what that did for my faith. Are you ready for them?
Yeah.
I was a hunter, am a hunter, way before I should have been. I've told you the story of my outlaw dad, Paul. Outlaw Paul. You know, we didn't have to wait for New York State to implement that you're allowed to hunt with rifles. We always were hunting with rifles down in Frewsburg. We don't need to know. We already know. It's already been passed down at 196 Main Street, Frewsburg, New York. That law is already in place. Outlaw Paul, you know, and I was hunting way before I should have been. So I would say I probably started hunting my earliest memory probably 7, 8 years old, gun in my hand by the time I was 10, way too young to have one and holding it, and just, you know. But from 10, I'd say, I'm trying to think of when the year was. I should have wrote it down. 10 to about 30 years, I'd say 30 years old, give or take a year. I lived in the woods. I lived on the Conowongo River Creek there in Frewsburg, and we had 100 acres, and I lived in the woods growing up hunting and going through life hunting there. It was a very outdoors-ish type childhood. But I noticed something. I never saw a bear in the woods. All the times I spent in the woods hunting. And you know that when I got into archery hunting in 2001, that's when I really became obsessed with hunting and turkey hunting. And from 2001 to now is when I've really spent a lot of time in the woods, so much so I got corrected for it a few times with the Lord and had to back off. But my point is this. Now, this seems silly to you. I had never seen a bear in the woods, and me, desire of my heart, I can't explain it, I always wanted to see a bear in the woods. I love the woods so much that I would go for what I would call, Court and I would take the kids, especially, you know, before the kids, go for this thing called the drive, where you'd go down through Owenville, past the Nickel Inn, go by the reservoir and come back up Frewsburg and Frew Run and all that, and it's all in the woods, and I would drive that drive and try to set the cruise as low as the cruise would let me set it for. And I'm constantly pulling over, and the reason I did that is so I can slowly look for wildlife. I've just always loved deer, loved turkeys, but I'd never seen a bear. All those drives, all the time in the woods, never saw a bear, and it was a desire of my heart. Mark 11:24 says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them. Well, I'd never seen a bear. And I was thinking about these verses, joy is full. I said, you know, I'm not discontent about it. I'm not angry. But if you want to be honest, it would bring me joy. It would help fill my joy to see a bear in the woods. Well, I prayed that and believed God. He said, ask whatever you want. Ask that your joy will be full. I want to see bears in the woods. Ladies and gentlemen, 30 years old, now I'm 41. I don't know how this happened. In my head when I said 30, I thought it was 35. Because I was thinking it's been 5 years since this happened. So bump it up from 10 years old to probably about 35 years old before I start asking, because this only happened the last 5 or 6 years. Oh, what's going on up here? But I'm 41, so this happened when I was 34, 35 years old, around that age. Never saw a bear in the woods. All the time I spent, all those years, 24, 25 years in the woods, never seen a bear. came across this verse, said, you know what? I'm going to take you at your word. I don't know why it means so much to me. I don't know why it's something I want so bad. Father, I'm asking you, make it so I start seeing bears. I can't tell you the last 5 or 6 years. I don't even count anymore. True story of how many bears I see driving and when I'm hunting now. Say, oh, that's just a coincidence. No, it's not. Because actually, the last 5 or 6 years, my hunting time has gone to this. I've gotten more things, but I've been more faithful not having to hunt as much. And really, the years from about 25 to 35, there was a lot of disobedient years of just hunting all the time. And I never saw bears. Even when I was a kid, before I knew Jesus, never saw a bear. I have stopped counting. One time, I was in a tree stand in Pennsylvania. This is when it was starting to all come, it was like a floodgate opened up. See, but my point is this. If he'll do this for a stupid request of seeing bears, what's he want to do for your joy? Yeah. Your joy. Your joy might not be to see bears. Your joy might be to have bears stay away. My it is to see them as close as I can. And I started having not just seeing them, but cool encounters with them. A mom and two cubs came in. And you might not think this is neat, but I thought it was wonderful. Underneath my tree stand, the two bears, and they were probably 4 or 5-year-old cubs, so they're not really little cubs anymore, started climbing up my ladder and had my strap of my tree stand in their mouth, and I just like thought it was just the coolest thing ever because I knew if they get close enough, you know, they didn't know I was there. I'd scare them, and they'd just go running away. And this is a true story. I was down in Sheffield, Pennsylvania. I get my Pennsylvania hunting license. And they're opening day of rifle season. Now, you can't shoot bears during their opening day of rifle season. They have a special season. You can only shoot deer. But I was hunting in a hemlock area. Now, if you don't know hemlocks, when it's wet, the ground is very quiet. There's just big pine-looking type branches all on the ground. It's wet. It's raining. It's not very windy. It's super calm. But the ground is quiet. I mean, you could just tiptoe through the woods. And I'm leaned against a tree like this, and the wind's coming at my back, so it's going this way. So anything out in front of me is going to have a better chance of smelling me. Anything behind me is not going to smell me that good. So I'm against a tree, and it's a little bit wider than me, so it's coming out each side of my shoulders. You know, I'm leaning against it. And it's just dusk, you know, just starting to get light out where you can start to make out. And this, I'm not exaggerating. I noticed something out of the corner of my eye coming. And I look to my right, and there is a bear, and I'm standing here against a tree. It literally, because it can't smell me, doesn't know I'm there because I'm against a tree, it walks right by me where my pulpit is. A bear, wild bear in the woods, walks right by me, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And I know for maybe a lot of you say, I don't want that. For me, it was like, oh, your joy is full. What did he do? He Ephesians 3:20'd me. Above what I could ask or think. I just sent a picture of a bear to Pastor Tim Stallman that I have on camera behind my house. I said, how much do you think this thing weighs? He said, I'm guessing 400 plus pounds. The thing is huge. I said, I don't want that behind my house. Send them to my house. I want all the bears. I have bears on camera now. I see them driving. I see them hunting all the time. I had a chance to shoot one last year, but didn't because I had cubs. I mean, it's just like they're overrunning me after I asked him. And I'll tell you what that did for my faith. I exercised my faith by taking him at his word. What is a joy for you? I encourage you, exercise your faith. Start with a small thing. Bears is not some life-changing thing, but it did something to my faith, and it increased and strengthened my faith. Amen. Well, then I got B, and I'm almost done here, a few years later, and I'm walking my dog, and I had been hemming and hawing. You know, I can't help that I am obsessed with white-tailed deer. I didn't put that there. I grew up having that. And I can't tell you why, for some reason, the ones that grow bone out of their head, and the bigger the bone they grow out of their head, the happier it makes me. I can't tell you why I like that. Might mean nothing to you. And this is so funny. If this person's watching, I will not say your name to embarrass you, but this just goes to show how some people's desires and joy is not the same. I showed a person a picture of a giant buck one time. And they know about white-tailed deer. You know what their question was to me? Is that a buck? What? What do you mean, is that a buck? It's huge. Yes, it's a buck. But they don't care about it like I care about it. I don't know why I do, but I just always have. Big bucks. The bigger, the better. Well, I know as a hunter, the big bucks are where? They're found in the Midwest of the United States. States like Ohio, states like Iowa, states like Illinois, states like Kansas. The genetics and the food out there grow huge bucks, bigger than New York bucks. And I'd always wanted to have a connection out there. And I hemmed and hawed with this thought. Oh, what's it matter? There's bigger fish to fry in the world. There's bigger things I should be believing God for. And so I kind of stayed away religiously. But I got my mind renewed to this. I said, you know, it really would be a joy to have an opportunity to hunt big bucks in the Midwest. So I remember I was walking my dog Wrigley in the side of my yard, just taking her out, walking around with her. And I said, Lord, you said in your word in John 16:24 to ask that my joy would be full. I said, Father, I don't know why I'm obsessed with the white-tailed deer and big bucks. I said, I just know I really like them. And it brings me joy and happiness to be able to be around them, to hunt them, to see those deer. I said, but Lord, we don't have those kind of deer on here. They are few and far between. I want a connection to the Midwest. I don't want to just have to save up thousands of dollars to go on a hunt every once in a while. I want a connection to the Midwest where I can see these bucks. So Father, that would be my joy. My joy would be full if I had that. I'm asking you for that. And I started to praise him for it. Thank you, Lord, your word's true. Just like Abraham did what? Thank you, Father, I'm having a baby. Well, that was Abraham, you're going to have a son, is the same God that says, ask me something to make you joyful. Amen. Amen. So I did. I asked him. And I don't know, it was a month or two went by. And remember, I was getting ready to buy a new bow. I'll close here. You don't need to go into the whole detail of the story. But I was getting ready to buy a brand new bow to go where I always bought a brand new bow. And I had a check in my heart. You see, this is what I've learned over the years. Don't question the checks. Don't question when it's there. I don't know why. Why can't we show up Tuesday? It doesn't seem like anything would, but it's for a bigger purpose and a cause. And I think a lot of it will be revealed, and we'll see, and we'll be blessed for it. But go get, he said, and in fact, this is what he told me. No, go to Ravelin Hill Archery in Panama. Well, that's farther away. And it's owned by the Amish. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I had stereotypes in my head about going to what other people have told me about Amish people working on my bow. So I had those stereotypes, you know. And what to go do? I didn't want to go to Panama. I didn't want to go take my bow to the Amish. I knew these people I used to go to. It's closer to my house. No, take your bow there. Okay, I'm not going to disobey it. I'm taking enough lumps disobeying. So I brought my bow there, and I told you the story. I walked in there. First time I walked in that archery shop, it was just the inward witness that I will never go anywhere else. As long as this shop's open, it's where I'll get all my bow work done. It was excellent. It was unlike anything I'd ever experienced. Kind of like the first time I heard Pastor Michael Laketic preach the word. I'm home. I'm not going anywhere else. Praise God, just for me, you know, and my knowing. And so I go there, and one thing leads to another, you know. And remember, his son was just born and sick in the hospital, and the Holy Ghost told me, go up to Buffalo General Hospital and pray with his wife and Daniel. That was the dad and the son. Go pray with them. And, oh, you talk about the thoughts. I was busy, you know, had things to do. It wasn't a good time. Plus, I was embarrassed. I was nervous that they weren't going to accept it. I didn't know what they believed. And remember, I obeyed again. I'm not going to question, I'm just going to obey. And I went there, right, and walked into the hospital room, and their faces lit up. They were so happy that someone would come to visit them, especially somebody that just had met him one time in an archery store. Drove all the way to Buffalo to see him. Pray, they said, yes, please pray for my child. Prayed, God turned the situation around. I was able to take them to the drugstore close by and buy them some things to make their stay a little bit better. And it wasn't too much longer later, Daniel says, will you go out to dinner with my dad and I? His dad's Jonas Sr. Or will you go out to breakfast with us? We went to I don't know if you ever better, you need to go to a place in Clymer, New York. There is a restaurant in Clymer, New York. Oh, man, you got to get there, pancakes and waffles. I'm telling you, you think I'm kidding. You say, that's far away, Pastor, but no, it's worth it. It is worth it. What's the place up here that's real good? That Sprague's? It's like a Sprague's, man. It's just I don't know, man. They're in competition with each other. They're so good, you know. But anyways, went there, and Daniel and his dad's sitting there talking with me. I don't know what's going on. I'll go out and hang out with you. You're my friend. Gives me a call later on. Says, we had a guy that just backed out. You know, they're Amish. They don't drive. That used to take us to Ohio. We have a hunting lease in Ohio. And here's the awesome thing about this hunting lease. It's in the middle of a swamp. Bucks like big swamp. There's lots of places to hide. And it's on next to a 40-acre preserve of nothing but thick stuff where nobody can hunt. So the deer get big, grow in their hide, and when they come out looking for the does, they come onto the property. And Daniel's archery shop, you look around, has these bucks like you see on TV. Didn't get them in Panama, New York. Got them in Ohio. He said, we have a driver. He had back out. He just bought a business or something in South Carolina. We want you to be our driver to go to Ohio, put you on the lease, and you can hunt these deer. A month or two earlier, I'm just praying in my yard, Father, this is what I prayed. This isn't coincidence. I want a connection that allows me to hunt big bucks like the Midwest without having to pay thousands of dollars to do it every once in a while. My joy is full. And guess what happened? It came. And just to throw this in for good measure, your pastor's a different kind of person, if you've learned by now. Bears and bucks. The other thing I had a slight obsession with growing up, I always wanted a backstage pass into the Amish life. Say, what? Why? I don't know. I just always was intrigued with the lifestyle, always wanted to know, always wanted to have, not to gawk or to make a spectacle or anything or to be just this inquisitive journalist reporting, looking for something. No, just always intrigued, always, I don't know, had a respect, just kind of a desire. And I always wanted to have a friend that was in the Amish community. Well, we were down there. You know, when they get together, man, they really get together. Wow. We got together, and this one family that we stay at down there, I mean, just gorgeous homes and manicured and just excellence. And it's like, wow, these people learn so much from them. And I'm there in their basement. They redid their whole basement, and they're making all this homemade pizza. And while it's being made, you know, there's like 30 adults and 15, 20 kids, and all the kids are coming over and just staring at me. Like I am an alien that just got off a ship. You know, they're looking at my clothes and my shoes and my hair, and none of them speak English because they all teach them German when they're little, you know, at first. And it was awesome. And then, you know, when it came time for dinner, they said, no, you're our guest. We want you to get first. They put me first. And I went back with my pizza and I sat down and I'm watching this. And it hit me, oh my gosh, you just fulfilled another joy and desire in my life. And I had a tear run down my eyes, and I wanted to be careful not to start crying in front of all of them and think, what in the world, is the pizza bad or something? And here I was looking around, so my goodness, it came to pass. It came to pass. God, you're so good. And I'll tell you what it does to your faith. We need you, people, believing God for things. You say, this is ridiculous. I learned something. My house testimony that I taught, I'm not going to tell it because I'm going overboard here. My house testimony was something personal for me. But during the same time was when we moved into the First South Dayton building. And because you don't know all the ins and outs of finances and people that left and what the offerings were, at times as congregation members, you just move into things and you don't realize the fight or the battle or the struggle that was there. And it was a great test in my life. And the same time that was going on ministry-wise was when the Lord led me to believe for this house that was so impossible. And I'll never forget what Pastor Nancy said. He said, the Lord will have you to believe for things in your personal life so you can bring that faith to the kingdom. Amen. Start with your joy. Amen. What is something for you that would just start small? Remember, why do you start small? It's like the person says, I can never believe for $1,000. It's too much money. Okay, your faith might not be there, but can you believe for $100 10 times? Yeah. So I can't believe for $100 10 times. Can you believe for $50 20 times? I'm serious, right? When you go into the gym, you might not be able to start with the 200, 300 pounders, but can you start with a 5-pound dumbbell? Yeah. And what's something in your life? You're going to work the word. That's a joy to you. Maybe it's just I would just love to be blessed with money to buy a new pair of shoes for myself. Okay, start that with a joy. I'd like to be able to do that. I'd like to be able to have that, this or that. Do the word. Start getting faith notches on your faith belt. And let's get our faith to grow strong. Why? Because we have to exercise it. Exercise it on your joy. And then I want testimonies. I don't care how silly it is. You've heard my silliness. Amish obsession, bear obsession, deer obsession. You know, I could tell you more stories, but we don't got time. But my point is, it built my faith up. Exercising it, using things for my personal life. God's just pleased with faith, but we have to exercise it. Amen? Were you blessed tonight? Glory to God. Father, we're excited about growing our faith. Lord, we're just so thankful. And yeah, we should be believing for things for the church and believing for things, maybe what you'd call more substantial, important things. But Father, all we have to worry about is if it's your will. And you gave us the permission to believe for our joy is full. And Father, there's still things I have on my, if I were getting right down to it, Lord, I'm content. And I'm not complaining and I'm not disgruntled. But if we were to be completely honest about it, Father, and I never want to lie to you, and I can't lie to you anyways, you see right through it. There's still things in my life, Father, that if you're looking at a pie chart that says Pastor Mike's joy pie chart, full, is joy full, there's still things that aren't completely full. I'm not discontent, and I'm not disgruntled, and I'm not upset, and I'm not lusting after things. But Father, if we're going by what you said in your joy, and so Father, I thank you, Lord, they'll come to pass. I thank you, Father. They'll come to pass. And Lord, if it's something ever you'd want me to put down or something that just, you know, is not for me or wouldn't benefit me, Lord, I'm always open to that. But Lord, I trust you. I know I can believe for salvations. I can believe for the harvest. But Lord, I can also start on things with my joyful and build my faith. And I pray each and every person will get a faith project after tonight and say, you know, I'm going to put this to the test. I'm going to use my faith. I'm going to release my faith and believe God for something. And I'm going to believe him and thank him. And just like I was doing with the bears, I'd go for a drive and I'd thank you, Father, I'm going to start seeing bears. I'd go, honey, I thank you, Father, I'm going to start seeing bears. It didn't happen right away, but it's happening now. They're overtaking me. I asked him, it was about a month and a half, 2 months, if I remember right, before that Midwest hunting connection happened. Well, you know what I did after release my faith? Father, I thank you, a Midwest hunting connection. I'd think about it. I think a Midwest hunting connection seemed impossible, seemed like it couldn't happen, but you are the God of impossible, and it built my faith. It strengthened my faith. So, Father, I pray that every single one of these people would get a project, a joyous full project, for the purpose of building and growing their faith for the ultimate purpose of bringing it to the kingdom. We give you praise. Let's thank him tonight. We thank you, Lord. You're a good God. You're so kind and merciful. You care about every little thing. Lord, I hope it would stir people up that if you'd see that it was so important enough for you to start putting bears in my life. With all the things going on in the world, you honored that, Father. What you'll do for them. What you'll do for them, Father. We need faith, people. We praise you, Lord. Now, with heads bowed, please eyes closed, no one looking around. I know as I scan the room, as far as I know, to my best of my knowledge, everyone in the room is born again. But if by chance you're not, or if somebody's watching online and you've never received Jesus, what do you mean to receive Jesus? Well, the Bible says he is the only way to heaven, John 14:6. God gave us Jesus as a gift of mercy and love and kindness. People say, oh, it's so closed-minded, Jesus, this Jesus thing. No, it's mercy-minded. It's love-minded. God didn't have to make a way, but he made a way. If I'm drowning and someone throws me a pink life raft, I'm not going to deny it and say, I don't like the color pink. No. Thank God for the pink life raft. Well, I wish we could do that. No, Jesus is the mercy demonstration of God. And it's simple. If you receive Jesus, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to have had good church attendance. You don't have to have all your ducks in a row, your T's crossed, your I's dotted. No, you just have to believe in Jesus. And how do you do that? Well, Romans 10:9 tells us if you'll believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, it has to be in two places. It has to be in your heart, believe in him, and then you have to confess that with your mouth. If you're watching, you could say, you know what, I don't know if I've ever received Jesus, but I'll tell you what, Pastor, I do believe in Him. I believe He's real. Well, that's the first step. The second step is asking Him in your heart. And you just simply do this. You say, Lord, I believe in You. I believe You died. I believe You rose again. I'm asking You to come in my life as my Lord and my Savior. If you'll pray that and mean it, He'll do His part. He'll save you. Heaven will be yours. I encourage you at that point. Then get a church, praise God, a pastor that teaches the Bible. We'd love to have you here. But I'm not the only Bible teaching preacher and Holy Ghost following preacher on planet Earth. Find out where He wants you. Plant there. Learn all that He has for you. Why? So you can walk into all that He has for you. Father, we give You the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take up an offering real quick. Go to Proverbs 28:20. Thank you for being faithful to give. And that's really going to be the emphasis on tonight's offering. Proverbs 28:20. Of course, as you're leaving, you can drop that in the bucket. And again, thank you for faithfulness to give. You know, where would the church be if people weren't faithful to give? It's a ministry. It's one that gets overlooked because it's quiet, nobody sees it. Where someone stands up and sings, they see it. Or someone's an usher or servant in a position, they see it. But we need the ministry, people to excel in the ministry of giving. And just so you know, if you need prayer for anything, healing or anything, I'll agree with you after end of service. Just come on up. But thank you for being faithful. But being faithful has personal benefits too. It says a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. But I'm going to focus on the first spiritual law there. It says a faithful man will abound with blessings. So God knows that there's an abundance of blessings. What's a blessing? Something that would bless you. Something that would bring you joy. Something that you would like, right? Notice it says there's blessings to be had. But notice it said that there's certain blessings that faith can't get. Right? That just walking in love can't get. That going through the most. No. There's certain blessings that are only had with faithfulness. What's faithfulness? Doing the right thing over and over and over and over again. I wish I could put it, if I spoke it out in tongues, I guess I'd say it this way. Only I feel like I could fully say it is to speak it out in tongues. And it helped me when I was able to check in with my spiritual dad and my pastor, Pastor Michael, who stands in a greater office of that apostle and prophet and for the churches. I wish that I could tell you the things that are going to be gained and the things that are going to be lost during this time of coronavirus starting in March. Because some people, if this was a trail of unfaithfulness and falling away and casualness and apathy towards God, have excelled on that road. And some people have excelled in being faithful, digging in, still praying, still giving, not criticizing, not hurt, not being an armchair. And some people, and there's going to be things lost, and there's going to be great things that are gained. And I had sensed that in my spirit. And when I talked to my pastor, got the same thing. And I believe it's all connected to the word the Lord gave us in the beginning, that there are things ready to spring forth and break forth. There's a thaw coming in 2020. But see, just because pastor says that, now I didn't plan on saying this, but again, this is just me speaking out of the utterance the Holy Ghost has given me. Just because the Holy Ghost says there's a thaw coming in 2020, if you get on the road of unfaithfulness and excel in apathy and casualness and not caring and slacking off and not doing what you're supposed to do, the breakthrough and the thaw will not happen. But I believe it's connected to the people that, and again, you say, oh man, I have some work to get faithful tonight. Yeah. Amen. Just dive in, turn things around. He's merciful. We talked about it at the beginning of service. Maybe that's why we said that at the beginning of service, because then we'd have this at the end of service. I don't know, but maybe. And people that excel and said, you know, I'm going to stay faithful. My church still needs my tithe during the coronavirus. It does. The lights, the bills, the mortgage didn't get delayed and put off. The rent, all that, whatever we have, you know, the bills, no. I stay faithful. I'm still going to pray for my pastor. I'm not there as much, but he still needs me. The plan of God, we're doing something a little different now, but the plan of God, it's not the end of the story. It still needs me. I'm still pray. And if you have not been faithful, get faithful, because I'm telling you, these trials and things that come against us, what do? They reveal things. And things are being separated. I'm telling you, what did I say when the Lord gave me the word? I don't know if I had told you this. On July 12th, I stepped into the South Dayton Post Office, and the Lord spoke something to me that I'm not allowed to share with people yet. But I'll tell you what, I said at that service, better get on board, because we're going to places. And some people will be left behind. I don't mean miss heaven. Don't misunderstand me. But where God wants to bring us and take us as a church in our personal lives, you can't get there by falling away and being casual. Just because the coronavirus and so many people, it excelled and it revealed things in them, and it also excelled and revealed things in people in the other way too. And it's like gained and lost. Faithful man, abound in blessings. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for that utterance, Lord. This is not just blowing smoke at people and just saying something to sound serious. No, Father, it's true. A faithful man will abound in blessings. There are great blessings to be had for those that have stayed faithful during this time. And Father, thankfully, we can always start. We can always get back on the train. And Lord, all the unfaithfulness can be washed away and forgiven. So Father, help us. Help us to do what's right. Lord, we just say this tithes and offerings goes to meeting the needs of this church. We call this church blessed, paid off. We say, everyone at the sound of my voice, it's faithful to do what you said, Father. Blessings come their way. And Father, I thank you for increase. I thank you for more than enough for us, Father, for the reason to be a greater blessing to the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you. Appreciate you. I'll see you next Saturday. You are dismissed. If you need prayer, come on up.